What's up, and welcome to the Live Your Personal Best podcast. This is the place where I help current and former athletes like you to show up confidently in the gym and in life. I'm your host, Emily Kaufman, a former Division I athlete and author of Elite to Everyday Athlete. I'm going to show you how to stay motivated in reaching your goals and how to have more fun doing it. So let's sweat it out and start living your personal best. Hey guys, today we are joined by Annie. She is a health and wellness coach who has worked with hundreds of clients to help them achieve a life of confidence, wellness, and success. She has her master's degree in integrative wellness coaching, and her capstone project was titled Health Coaching as an Effective Tool for Managing Stress and Anxiety, which she's on to talk to us about today. Annie, I'm so excited that you're joining us.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for this opportunity.
Yeah. Well, I know that you are a health and wellness coach, which is a super broad topic and it covers a lot. So I'd love to know like what you specifically focus on with your clients.
That's a great question. The idea of integrative, right? Like that's the title of the degree, integrative wellness coaching, is pretty much the wellness wheel or the wheel of life. So think of a pizza pie. And different slices are different areas of your life. So like mental, physical, environment, financial. And so in my studies and then with like these hundreds of clients, we've taken on different areas. But what I have found is some common things or common areas that fit multiple of these pizza slices is stress, time management, confidence. That's like mostly what it comes down to. Because of your finances not being that great, your confidence can be directly correlated with that. Or because you're so stressed, or you're so stressed because your time management stinks. So this is such a dramatic example, but I say what it's like, some of these are like cancers that spread. If you had better confidence, it would spread into these other areas, but in a good way.
Yeah, it's the type that you want to spread into other areas. So you kind of focus on tackling with them, you know, like this, like time management and like confidence and like kind of getting to those root causes.
Yeah, definitely. I would say I've really leaned into those, especially during COVID with the stress management. A lot of people were suffering or having trouble before, and then all of their symptoms exacerbating during COVID.
Yeah, I think stress management is super interesting because usually where you like feel the most stress isn't what's actually like causing you the stress. Like I know that a lot of people will be like, oh, you know, like I'm so stressed with work, but it's not actually like from whatever's happening. It might be something in your personal life that then filters over. Do you kind of feel that to be true? Or like, how can we start tackling where it's coming from?
Oh, for sure. That's a great question. And one of the things I think is like a mindset shift. So for example, I'm a practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming. So essentially like your words impact your feelings and your thoughts, your energy and your behavior. So this people are always like work-life balance. I just want to achieve work-life balance, right? That's like super common. If you put work-life balance in Google, you'll get like ridiculous results. But the mindset shift of changing the word balance to harmony. So yeah, you're getting upset that you can't have balance because it's kind of stupid to say 50 and 50. Like, do you really want half of your time on earth working, or do you want more with your family and friends? Okay, most people are going to say family and friends. So you're not, it's this idea of, they call it cognitive dissonance. So you're thinking one thing and doing another. And because you're not aligned, you're freaking out. But it's like, yeah, because you want something and you're actively doing the opposite. So changing that word balance to harmony as how can we have harmony in our life? How can we reach that as opposed to reaching something that's almost unreachable? So no wonder you're stressed out. You're looking at these gals on Instagram who look like they have it all, who look like they have this beautiful work-life balance. And I'm here to tell you that they don't.
Yeah, that's so interesting. You're like saying, you know, like you're saying that you want this one thing, but then doing the other. I think that, yeah, even like replacing that word of like thinking about it more and like harmony, then you can kind of take that stress out of like, it has to be balanced. It has to be balanced. But you more understand like, okay, these are different things working together.
Totally. Yeah. I loved your simplified version of it. But yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah. Do you find that like this is kind of like something that we need to like bring into like all aspects of our life, like this balance. Do you think that maybe there are times where we can just kind of like put things completely on the back burner? Like, how do you kind of like approach this when people are trying to like make these adjustments in their life?
One of the very first things I do is, especially gals in like their 20s and 30s, is while I'm doing like an intake, right? Like what's your eating habits? How much water are you drinking? Like literally basic things. One of the things that I ask in this intake process is, what is your relationship with your phone? Because that is literally one of the quickest things, not that can be fixed overnight, but some simple solutions that you can do immediately. So sometimes for my clients, I assign homework, and one of the first homework assignments may be go on your social media, one platform at a time, right? It doesn't have to be like within an hour, one platform at a time, and unfriend or unfollow every single person that doesn't bring a smile to your face. So if they're educating you, that's great, right? But that girl from high school who got pregnant before you and is breaking your heart to see her like beautiful baby with curly hair is not serving you. To watch someone buy a house before you and it's not inspiring you, it's upsetting you. If you're doom scrolling, if you're angry, if you're jealous, you need to unfollow them literally like immediately. And that is a game changer for confidence and stress management. Follow people who are leaders in the field that you like. Follow positivity. Like you can even unfollow toxic positivity because sometimes that's infuriating, right? Like I'm sure you've seen that. I'm sure you've seen that as well.
Yeah, definitely. Because it kind of goes back into the aspect of like what you surround yourself with and your environment. And like, we spend so much time like thinking about that in our like day to day, but we might not think of that relating to like, oh, even the simple things that you're like reading on your phone.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, you really hit the nail on the head. One of the things that I tell people or ask about is their support system. And then more specifically, who are the top five people you spend the most time with? And this doesn't mean even need to be physically in time. And this doesn't even need to be someone that you personally know. But are you watching the person screaming on YouTube with anger and hatred? Is your best friend someone who's a mean girl and actually picks on you? Is your boyfriend abusive? Is your parents completely different political and religious views, and every time you talk to them upsets you? Well, that's your top five. You've surrounded yourself with them. So you are the product of the top five people that you hang out with, whether we want to accept that or not. So who's your top five? And maybe you need to change it up. That's okay. We're allowed to change it up.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I feel like with a lot of like these things that you're talking about is like almost taking inventory of where you're currently at. Like it's like, okay, like what are you doing here? Who are you surrounding yourself by? Like things like that. Is that kind of like the first step in making any of these changes? Or like, is it kind of like looking at all these different aspects?
I'm loving that totally. And that's, I didn't mention this part for the wellness wheel, but what I make them do first is rate it from 0 to 10, 10 being optimal. Like, I don't have a problem with this at all. So, taking that rating first and then taking measurable results. So, I would be like, well, what do you rate your confidence level now? And then a month from then, what do you rate your confidence level now? Because we're going to need measurable results. Or another example is, people will come to me and they'll say, like, I want to be confident. I also want that for you, but what does confidence mean to you? Okay, it means presenting at work in front of people, public speaking. I'm the youngest one in the room. I'm the least experienced. I'm very anxious. I'm a woman, usually in a room with mostly men. That's what confidence means to me. Not throwing up before a presentation or something like, okay, we can measure that. Now we can set goals of public speaking in a room. Like, there's so many things that we can prepare for that. So let's get on those solutions. The other thing I say is like, there's usually three stages, which is educating yourself, number one. Number two is building mindfulness. And number three is the behavior change.
Yeah, I love that part of like putting measurements on it. I'm very much a math person. I graduated with that. My job now is all in math. And so being able to like physically feel that of like, oh, like I am getting more confident because in this skill, I like used to be here. Now I'm here, like makes it like a very like relatable thing. And then also It's just another goal, just like going to the gym or trying to improve in like a physical skill. You can like now have tracking for that too. Now we've talked about like the step one, and then you mentioned, step two is then the mindfulness aspect of it, right? So how does that kind of play into it? How do you bring that into your goals?
Sometimes it's like the I feel statement. So it's like, okay, but how do you feel when your boss calls you out in front of everyone? Like, okay, I feel embarrassed. Like, I feel personally attacked. I'm the only one that of that did that. Or actually, let me think of a better example. Another example is this idea of building confidence, especially at work. So what I will talk about building mindfulness is, who is the best performer in your position or in the company in general? And now it's time to observe them. What do you like about them? Like, one lady really likes her supervisor. And I said, well, what do you like about him? And she said he handles situations well in meetings. And I said, so your homework right now is to observe how he talks, the verbiage he uses, and the tone. That's your homework. You need to study him. But you're building mindfulness around his actions. So one lady, when I asked her, like, what do you like about your boss? She said, I don't know what I like about her. I just like the feeling of being around her. So then we explored that. And what it ended up being is like, it was something like, I really like that she doesn't wear a lot of makeup on camera, and that sometimes her dog jumps on camera. Okay, you like her because she's relatable, like, which is great. Now we identified that. What can you relate with other people in the room? Okay, cool. This is instant bonding. But you didn't know until you built that mindfulness around, well, what did you like? How can you repeat something or emulate if you don't even know what you like?
Yeah, that's such a good point to bring up because, in sports, I feel like this is a big thing where you like find athletes that you want to perform like and you like watch their video and you like know how to perform like them, but then we never do it in real life or like with soft skills or, we don't do that maybe like consciously, but you realize who you like. You pick that person that you're like drawn to. And so even just like that act of like, okay, but then why? And then you can apply that to your own self. You can apply that to your own situations on like things to improve on.
Definitely, definitely. And if I could take it a step further, especially like younger gals starting in industries, is find a mentor like as soon as possible and ideally more than one. And again, look for the person that's most successful in your company. Or it may simply, another one that's really good to look out for is, who's the person everyone likes? Who's the person that wants this person on their team? Who's the person that always gets invited to happy hour? Okay, watch what they're doing. And a lot of people, especially when there's an age gap, will do it for free. They just, especially women for women, they just want more successful women. Like, they're just so excited that a young or younger gal is like, can you help me with life? Like, I don't even know. Like, I don't even know what I'm supposed to know. So they're honored.
Yeah. No, I love that so much. So this was like kind of the step two of more like the mindfulness. And then you said that step three was then actually like going into the behavior change. Can you talk about that step a little bit?
Yeah, so that's like what we're talking about of like setting the action steps and doing them. So a behavior change may be using that verbiage, or a behavior change may be going to do Toastmasters and do public speaking in front of strangers. There was like free public speaking courses at a local library that a gal did. Another girl invested in a community college public speaking class because she was like, I need to be graded or else I'm not going to perform at my best. I need like professional criticism, and I need someone to say like there's a grade attached. And she knew that. So finding what fits best for you. Like, one person we were working on confidence and going out of their comfort zone, and her homework was, you have to do one thing this week, one thing that just makes you a little uncomfortable that you wouldn't do a month ago. This girl blew me away. What she picked to do is two push-ups in the middle of a Starbucks. Two push-ups in the middle. She said she was telling her friend about the homework assignment, and then her friend was like kind of challenged her, but knowing like she had a very introverted, shy friend. She's like, you won't do it. You won't get on. Like, you won't do it right now. And she just did it. She's like, I didn't even think. I just wanted to do something that I wouldn't say yes to. So it's like, just action. It's very cool.
Yeah, and especially when you're in that mindset too of like, okay, I need to be building this. I need to be building this. You're like more willing to push yourself and just like making that an action step of like, I know I need to do something, so might as well do it now.
Totally, especially because someone's holding you accountable. I'm going to ask you the next session, what did you do? And the answer is yes or no. So, and if the answer is no, especially for multiple weeks in a row, all we need to do is reevaluate the goal, like, and adjust it. There's always a solution to why something's not working out.
Yeah, no, I love that. So you have now studied, like health coaching and wellness and all of that for many years now. I'd love to hear like what self-development advice you would give your younger self.
Oh my gosh. Actually, I wrote a book that was called SHIT, I Wish I Knew in High School. I just really recently published it. I wrote it for my sisters when they were freshmen in high school. They're 12 years younger. And I word vomited everything I wish I knew in high school, like everything. But if I were to give one general advice to my adult or child or literally anyone, is the idea of what you can control versus what you can't, and stop spending time thinking of things you can't control. Like, release that. Do yourself a favor and release that, and stop being a victim and look at the list of things you can control.
Yeah, I had no idea that you just released a book. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's like, it was very recently. It's very exciting for me.
Yes. Well, I love this whole conversation. Is there any one last piece of advice that we haven't gotten to today that you'd like to leave us with?
I would say ask for help, and whether that's a coach or therapist, and I truly don't even mean that as a plug for me. I just want people to get help, especially women. I really want them to get, whether it's paid help, free help, ask for help.
Yeah, no, that's great advice, especially, younger women. We might not feel confident enough to even ask for that help. But that's really just step one.
Right. Or every other woman has it together. I can do this. They're self-made, but it's like, come on. Like, come on.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing all this advice. Where can people find you, work with you, all of that?
So they can find me on Facebook or LinkedIn, or just go right to my site, which I'm sure you'll link, but I guess I'll spell it. It's my name. So ANNIE. DELRE.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.